in every field. And also they had in Nashville, last year they had National Council a convention. Is the people that holds in position of the council representatives from reservation, including the chairman. They had that's where all the people gets together. But not all the Indians, not all the tribes get together in the same place. We have about three regions. Then our region is one and their region is one. When they get through, then our chairmans, just our chairmans, get together. That's when they go to Washington, all of them. That's where.
Are they having, like, the same problems that you see here? Are they having problems with, say, losing the language? Or what are they doing about it?
They are trying to do the same thing like we're doing, trying to get back. Well, the council is putting this program that I was telling you all about, the language and culture and all that. Okay, council is, we're asking for funding and we don't get too much, but the council is putting the money out through the, that's why we have so much fuss, but, you know, like the revenue we get from bingo and cigarettes, that's what we're using that money for. That's how we set the program, but unfortunately there's some Indians on another state and are isolated, or like Washington State, they won't let them sell cigarettes anymore. And we had all that up and down, and unfortunately some doesn't get any kind of funding to set that up. And they kind of, you know, in the states where it's kind of bad. But we was one of the lucky ones that can do that. But if something happened to a bingo or cigarettes, then we have to look for elsewhere. Like, we have to ask for a grant, and you know how that is.
Right.
Something that's, you don't know whether it's come through or not.
What kind of changes have you seen bingo make? You just said one change.
I have noticed that it's happened every member of the tribe, and also happened in a lot of ways that I have seen that, like, it have helped senior citizens, and it, we got hot meal programs on there. We ask for funding on that, and we get it, but most of the, we have to use our tribal money, keeps it going. And another thing is that to me, like, each tribal member do get help out of there. Like, they get about $100 a month. Every 3 months, they get $300. And that's for all tribal members, which we never had it before. And another thing, what they did is that housing, we got so bad with where people won't pay for the housing and rental houses, where they cut us off. They froze our housing. We didn't have no houses. And today, because of that, we got a house, and they froze Choctaws, the Mirchos. And today we got their 50 units, which is new ones. You probably see it in Big Saddles when you go there. You seen it built, haven't you?
No.
See, you know where Tommy Jumper lives, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's another
They were working on that when I was there.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's finished. And you know, Tommy Jumper, what was she living on when you saw her?
She was living in a chickie.
Uh-huh, okay.
And Bert Billy lived right behind her in that trailer.
Okay, Bert Billy moved. They put her back with her brother, but Tommy Jumper, She don't live in Chicago anymore. They built her a nice house, frame house. You see when you go there. That's a money that they get from the bingo, build her that house. So she don't have to live in that Chicago anymore. That's why she stayed, but that's her house. She still stays in Chicago, but she comes out.
Yeah, she goes. I was going to ask you, do some of the older people like the Chicago better than
they like
house.
The houses better because they don't have to be cold or...
Oh, yeah.
Mosquitoes don't eat them up, you know, like here, that's another thing that I really, you know, went into a housing commission to get the houses because, and so in the wintertime, those chickies are like an icebox, freezes. Then in summertime, the mosquitoes comes in there, eat them. So I just felt like our older senior citizens should have at least knowing some kind of comfortable of life before they pass on. Like my grandfather, he never had that, and I was, and I'm glad my father has a house. Then that's why I want my mother to live in a house, so you know she would have a
comfort,
be comfortable once in her life, you know, because they're now no longer young. And that's why most of this building here are for senior citizens, except that one and that one. That one is belongs to my brother because nobody didn't want to live there because they want to live on the other. If we get another some more land back there, they'd rather live that way. And since my brother's already located here, he said he'd take the house. And this one is a building for, she's in here, she's got children, and she lives at the farmer's village now because she doesn't have a house. So we give her that because she's got children. But the other ones are senior citizens. As a matter of fact, the one first one over there belongs to a lady who's a disability. Mm-hmm. And out of all the 50 houses they're building, that's only one house they're building it for a disability person. Because I request for it, it took me about 10 times to request for that for you.
Do you ever?
I request for it till I got mad.
Yeah. Do you ever see Bingo coming here to Immokalee? Would there ever be a Bingo?
If they ever get more land up to the road or more land, they talked about it. Some member of this reservation here was talking about it and would like to set it up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, you know, it depends on, because they got one in Brighton, but it's small. But
right, I've seen it. It's a little small.
But the one in Tampa is, you've seen that too?
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
It's big, like
Hollywood.
What bad things do you see about Bingo? Is there anything negative about it?
Mm.
Or is it all pretty positive?
Only bad thing is the publicity. What they write about is like they try for involved with the mafia or the underworld, or you get accused of a lot of things or something. And so most of the time you know that it's not true, then people go like Miami or Fort Lauderdale or Hollywood, go print those papers, have never come out and ask us how we feel, what the situation is. They just print it up because of based on what they hear or what from the outside, not from the reservation. They print it from what they hear from the outside. That's the only thing I feel bad about it, when they have to print up something, you know, like that about the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really gets me sometimes. But I'm just then, mm-hmm. then again, no matter where you are, you're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Publicity, if you was in a politics or you were in a position of where something like that, and what it is, I feel like my tribe has been used as a stepping stone, because like Sheriff Butterworth, he wanted to get in politics and he wanted to get in somewhere, and we was one of his stepping stones in his path that he uses. That's what it is. And so this goes for any politician or anybody that print like that about us is want to get up there somewhere and be known or something. Mm-hmm. Then I guess they use everything else like that.
I was just going to ask, what land are you trying to buy? You trying to go out to the road over here?
Yes, we had they had office 80-some acres, all including all here up to that Starcade. Okay. Then they want $3,000 an acre, and we had two appraisers come out here and trade that and said they didn't go no higher than 1,700 because it's all on the water. But the company thought we needed so bad that we have to, and we might have to. So they look around, across the street is a Turner Corporation. They're looking into that too, to see if, you know, there was a possibility. But in that cross the street, it is a good area because it's where the pond and palm trees and the palm meadows are. But around here is real bad, but further up the road is not so bad. No. It's just that they want certain right on the contract that somehow they could control this reservation or something, and we had went into that, and so just did it here and there that our chairman don't like it, then it goes on and on, but they're already in process and getting it, so we might be the one on this side of the road all the way to the road. Then again, they might try for the one that crossed the road. This is a cargo company, and across the road is Turner Company. My husband worked for cargo companies.
Oh, really?
They're the one donate this piece of land though to Indians, cargo companies.
Oh.
When they used to move in the, used to live on the other side of town. I think they sold that land, and they want him to move, so they said that you have to find us a place to move. And since Indians have been living here all their life around here, that they just couldn't, I guess, maybe somewhere down the road where my mother was saying that old man used to, how he used to let him live and how he used to be generous with them. Well, I guess maybe somewhere down the line, I guess maybe they knew it and they just couldn't tell them to get off this land and, you know, go live somewhere else, so they have to look for a place. And over there, it was kind of unprotected. Then they had built a starcade here. Then they felt like that police station patrols and police stations down here. And there's one up there, but mainly there's a police station down here that they patrol this area all the time. That they felt, then we had told them that, so they feel like. So you can get better protection out here because the police is right there, you know. And so they talked about it and I agreed on it. My mother was part of that. I wasn't in part of that because I was too busy raising my little ones. And but since my husband was going to buy a home and he was building a house uptown, so. But I used to live down there before mm-hmm. I moved. So that was another reason they moved in this area over here in this spot. Then after that, for a while, then they had found out that they donated land to that Indian, but it wasn't federalized. So, but still, we still have a police protection, everything yeah. from them until mm-hmm. they become federalized.
What do you think is the future of the tribe? What do you think will happen here at Immokalee in 20 years, say?
20 years? Well, I feel like if we can get more land and get all the Indians on here, which they said they wanted to, and there be some living out of reservation, but still if we can big enough place for them to live in and have build their own, like the other reservation, they have own office, they have own playground and things like that, I think it looks good. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about about 28 years ago or 29 years ago when I first came to Immokalee to live there and work. That's what I'm talking about. There was just nothing there. Just like Big Cypress when I was a young girl before I moved here. Like my father, I said that he was representative. And back there was nothing there. Just that one little one-room school where the children went. I didn't go to school there, but I was raised around there, and I used to ask my father, what's the point of being representing your people? Because sometimes they get after you and get mad at you, and you, why you don't? He says, no. He says, I've got some people that believes in me. I said, well, why, Dad? And he just said that we're going to have roads and street lights and houses and school and running water and libraries and community buildings and maybe a store. One thing we had was church, too. Church was there. And
this is a Big Cypress?
Yeah. And I looked around and water was so high, and all we had was a dirt road and just something like that. what is he talking about as he's reading? Then he hang on to all those years and just, you know, fought so hard for it, and everything beginning to, you see it now. Even they have their own water tower up there. Because back then we just used the hand pumps, and our lights were, only place it had lights was in the school, and it had a generator runs that. No electricity, we just kerosene lamps and all that. They were good old days though, we didn't have to pay bill. So when I then I realized what he was really, you know, thinking and what he was talking about, that it can be happen if you really, you know, if you really go after what they call your goals or whatever. That's one workshop I found out in Washington, D.C. That what I first got on housing commissioner, and Eloise took me up there with her. That was my first trip, too, and she told me to go with her because I was one of the selected ones to go set up a... we have a book called Seminole Authority Housing Handbook, and we made that handbook, and... when I was up there, we had that Roger, a guy named Roger. He was a consultant, and he was expert on housing. He goes different United States and do that. So he worked with us a whole week, and that's the one that used to ask me so many questions and this and that. Sometimes I get mad at him and I won't talk to him. But he taught me a lot of things too, you know, about that. And do you say, he said, do you really believe you're going to get houses on your reservation? I'm just telling you, damn right I'm going to have a house on my reservation. Don't care what it takes, you know.
So, well, you did. What do you think is the future of the crafts industry?
Crafts industry? I'm hoping it don't fade out. But if we can... keep our people interested and keeping on it. I think we can, like our Cherokees, they still, you know, years and years they still have it. So I feel like, and as being with the group I had been with when we was in Italy, I had learned a lot from them, that their people from generation to generation pass on that craft, art, the dances, the ceremonies. So I feel like if we have more young people taking interest, that I think it will survive.
Are the young people taking a strong interest in?
Yeah, today, but in another tribes, I noticed that they do take really strong interest in their traditional dances or culture or whatever. But like I said, in the state of Florida, or Seminoles, it got kind of out of hand, got kind of, how do you say, it go kind of wayward or something like that, you know, and we're not somewhere. I think that's what happened, but it's the chairman we got today, and I feel like I'm not putting the former chairman down, Howard Tommy, but, well, he didn't have money to work with because he didn't have bingo or cigarettes. He just had to, most of the time he had to go after the funding, what he could, you know, he take care of his tribe. But like when we had that bingo and things like that, now the chairman we got, I think he has more funding to work with. And he is more on the culture.
Right.
And matter of fact, he even teach young boys to wrestle alligators so they wouldn't die out. He wants alligator wrestlers. So he's supposed to take my grandson, who is 2 years old, and said he's going to teach him how to wrestle a gator. I said, he ain't no gator baby. So he's
no gator baby.
But he said as soon as he's old enough to go in that gator pen, he said he's going to take him in and teach him how to wrestle alligator.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's another thing that we did a little bit, learn how to wrestle alligator as a girl, you know. They don't want us to do that, but we go and hide and do that Some people, some guys that used to show us how. But
did you ever do head wrestling?
Oh, Ethel. I won't get in there now, though.
Was it hard?
Huh?
Was it hard to wrestle?
No, it wasn't hard. It was just, it seemed like it was fun then, but. No, we wrestled the little ones. No, then we go in a pen. I had two uncles who were great alligator wrestlers. Not uncles, cousins. But they both died. And that's the one that taught me, you know, not to be scared. I had to catch the gator underwater or something. Mm-hmm. And I used to sneak behind my mother and father because I know they have fit.
Mm-hmm, so right.
They'd have to run all the time, so I used to do that. Later on, I told my father what I did. He said, yeah, I believe you're doing it.
How did alligator wrestling start?
I think the alligator wrestling didn't start till recently when tours beginning to interest. Maybe back then, but mostly alligator is something that we didn't fool around with too much. They were kind of, we kind of protect them because they were our main support, like an income.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would only kill them and sell their hide, and also kill them for the food, you know. But people used to eat alligators all the time. I have eaten some, but not lately.
Do you like it?
Yeah, they good. My father know how, not my father, my grandfather used to know how to prepare it. And he would kill one and just bring it home and take the hide, and we just use the tail part to eat. I used to eat them. I haven't had any lately because I was senior.
What else would you eat when you were growing up?
We ate turtles and garfish and mudfish and all the kind of fish except only thing we didn't eat was snakes. And the birds, all kind of birds,
mm-hmm.
and deers and things like that. And as far as best of all, we eat swamp cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Then we eat the we eat some. It used to be a fruit, but they come in greens. You have to boil that, like olives. That's how we mm-hmm. used to eat that. And there's some trees around here that you don't see a fruit on them anymore. Used to be mm-hmm. our fruit, and then we eat some roots. We go out and look like a potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a plant, we made it out of flour. It's made out of brown. I have told you that before.
Right.
What you call that?
The cassava plant? No. Is that what we're talking
about? No, the other one. It's a poison plant. Yeah.
Kunti palm.
Kunti palm. That's a poison. We eat them things. That's why James going to try to get somebody to make a videotape step by step. My mother knows how to do that. She was telling me who's going to do that. Take the poison out, and it's a part of the dish. You can make sake or bread.
Yeah, and you have to take the poison out before you can.
Uh-huh. How you do it? You dug it out, and you take that, the top is hard, like a pineapple.
Uh-huh.
And you clean that off. Then you cut them in pieces. Then you got a grater. You grate that down. Then you put it in the water and you set it. And inside of that plant or that stuff is it's got their own worms. They come out of that. I think that's a poison stuff. But anyway, it got worms that will create inside of that thing. And come on top. And the stuff come up to the top is poison. They eat all that out. You let it set and set and set, and it eat that all that stuff, which is poison. Then they die. Then you leave it on there. When it gets back in there, you dry it up and you mix it, because they all gonna just die back like a water. Then it turn out like a flour. That stuff that eat mm-hmm. that poison goes back in and kill that poison.
Hmm.
So it's safe to eat. Then I was raised on it, so
What does it taste like?
It tastes like a flour, which is flat.
Uh-huh.
But it's got a little bit different smell on it. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you can put salt in it and make bread. When we drink sake, we don't put sugar or nothing. We just drink it like it is. So that's how.
Just plain. Has your cooking changed during your 25 years of marriage to your Puerto Rican husband? Have you started cooking some of the foods he likes from his country?
Oh, I cook Indian. I cook soul food. I cook Spanish food, and American. So I know how to do about 4 or 5 type of food. I don't cook the same thing every day because I get bored or I get tired of it. And then lately, like when I went to Puerto Rico, I learned how to, make salad out of different things and how to cook different things. But mostly the type of food we eat, I noticed that it's kind of similar among with my people. Like we eat green bananas or yautias or something like that. Mm-hmm. We do eat in the same way. Except the salad, I have learned how that they use a lot of lettuce or tomatoes and things like that. Then that's what I use. So we eat one day like my traditional food or something, but a lot of times, we eat different food.
Go ahead. What would you say is the most traditional food that the Seminoles have that everybody has?
Well, my traditional food is like a stewed simmered chicken, with black pepper and salt and onions. We just simmer it down, all the way down. Then we would cook bread and sake. Then if we wanted fried potatoes or boiled potatoes or boiled bananas, or either that kind of potatoes I'm telling you about, you can go out and dig it up in sometimes my mother feel like it. She used to go back there by the lake traffic. They grow about that big back there. She used to get some, but since they got a property owner, they won't let her go in. That's what I think she was talking about.
Yeah.
That it's some back there. And then on swamp cabbage, those little berries there?
Yeah.
They're good to eat. You have
the
to
berries?
Prepare it. Yes, that little black berries they grow on there, that cabbage plant. You take it and you ground it. That thing we use to grind our corn.
Oh, the mortar and pestle?
Yeah, that thing. That's what we used to do, and we eat that with food like a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I think it's just like stew or fried bread or chicken and dumplings or stew and dumplings like you boil meat when it gets really low. If you got fried bread, you chop it up and put them in there like a dumpling.
Yeah.
And then another traditional thing is bananas, yellow bananas. They ripe, mash it up, fry it. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that we eat.
What about sofki? What is sofki?
Sofki is something we drink. And I don't drink that much now since I'm a diabetic, but I do drink it when I see some. It was a part of a main dish. We don't have no milk or nothing to keep cold or anything. Sofki can last a day or night, or the next day you don't get sour. Keep it in a cool place, like under the chicken. So they would cook it in the morning, and they would drink that breakfast or have coffee. Or lunch, they would drink that, and supper, they would drink that.
And what's it made out of?
Corn, roast corn I was telling you about, or you can make it out of grits or oatmeal or yellow corn meal and flour and also you can make quava sofki. You mash up your ripe quava, mash it up, boil it, then you put a little bit of flour in it. Then it's good to drink it sweet, and so is tomatoes. You can do that same thing with tomatoes.
And so it's basically like you boil up, say if you were going to make it out of grits, you would boil a lot of water with
No. A lot of water. It's a thin stuff. You make a big pot of it so it will last a whole day. Mm-hmm. And our bread is a fried bread or we got three kind of bread. The cornmeal, style cornmeal. You let the cornmeal get sour. Then they have when you got green corn, young corn, you can grate it, then fix that, and put flour in it, and make bread with it. That's another good one. Mm-hmm. To do that, but I don't see anybody ever make that in a home. Mm-hmm. They eat fried bread. I have to do it on a special meeting or when my family's there, or like we had a birthday for my grandson. I had a lot of fried bread. Everybody eat that fried bread. Mm-hmm. So I do that, but sometimes I make just a little bit at home. If I make a stew or something mm-hmm. that my husband like to eat it with, mm-hmm. then my daughter goes eat with us a lot. So mm-hmm. when I get it, I just tell her what I got. Mm-hmm. And so that's but the main part of dish are the safki and the bread. Mm-hmm. We always have that.
Do your children know how to cook?
Yes.
So do they cook Indian?
They cook Indian and Spanish both. Mm-hmm. They used to have a lot of, they grow up here with a, I call them rednecks. Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
Then Spanish people. Mm-hmm. So they know how to cook cornbread and black-eyed peas or something. Then they cook Spanish food. Then they cook Indian food. Indian food now is like a white rice and meat and gravy mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when I was young, they had a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But now today, you know, we don't have that. As long as the vegetables, we have green beans or corn or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't used to go to the store very much when you were growing up, did you?
No. Only time I remember they go to is get cooking grease and sugar and salt and flour and coffee and grit, but a lot of times they have their own. They have that ground. I think they make and they raise corn and they make their own grits anyway. So, but today everything you have to hit the store.
Do y'all eat eggs?
Yes, they raise. Like I said, they raise their chickens. Mm-hmm. So they always had eggs and. The main dish was chicken if they didn't find it. Mm-hmm. Then they didn't go out and hunt just for the hell of it, you know, like some people do today. Mm-hmm. They only go out and kill something that they're going to use it for today. Mm-hmm. And they would cook it. And that was they had nowhere to keep it.